So we just made a public confession of our faith, and one of the things that we said is that we believe in Jesus Christ. That's not his last name. That's his official position. You could say Christ Jesus, and sometimes you read that in the Bible, which is correct to say. Jesus Christ is Lord, right? Or Jesus is Lord, or Christ. So the point is, it's not his last name, but it is what? What does the catechism say? It is, points to what it means, which is he's the anointed. He's the promised one. For thousands of years, they were looking for the anointed one, the Christ. Christ is just the Greek word for Messiah, which is the Hebrew word, anointed. When did Jesus become anointed? And the answer is at his baptism, when the Spirit of God came upon him. And then he said later, the Spirit of God is upon me because he's anointed me. Quoting Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. So Jesus is anointed, and I love this answer to the question, what does it mean? Well, he's the prophet, he's the priest, and he's the king. This is a great insight from during the Reformation, that in the Old Testament, when we read about different people in the Old Testament, we run into prophets all the way through. Do you know that Abraham was a prophet? Now, we think of Abraham as a patriarch, right? But yet God calls Abraham my prophet. What is a prophet? One who is a recipient of revelation from God. Did Abraham receive revelation from God? The answer is yes. Did he communicate it to his children, to us? Yes. So we have prophets all the way through. I would even argue that Adam, in some ways, was a prophet. He received revelation from God in that way. But here, notice it says that Jesus is the chief prophet and teacher. Moses said, there's going to be a prophet that comes after me that is greater than me. He is the prophet. Well, what does a prophet do? He's a teacher. He is one who reveals the counsel of God concerning not only our redemption, but all things. He's our teacher. Ultimately, the teacher is Jesus, not the pastor, right? The pastor's doing his job. He should disappear, and you should see Jesus. That's my prayer. This is that you would see him, that he would teach you through his word and spirit. Secondly, notice, he is our only high priest. There were many high priests in the Old Testament, weren't there? But he's the only one. They pointed to him. Why? Because he, through his one sacrifice of his body, which he offered, has redeemed us. All those other sacrifices in the Old Testament all pointed to him. His blood was shed once for all for the remission of sins. And so he is our only high priest. And notice, he ever lives to do what? To pray for you. You know that? Right now that Jesus is praying for you, he ever lives to pray and intercede for you. He cares for you personally and loves you personally and prays for you to the Father. Isn't that a comfort? I don't know about you. I don't pray enough, but I'm thankful that Jesus is praying for me all the time. You know, even when I fail, which is quite often. And thirdly, he is our king. He's not just our king. What does it say? He's our eternal king. Is he reigning now? Is Jesus Lord now? Is he Lord over Putin? Is he Lord over, what's the other guy? She. Is he Lord over she? Yeah. Is he Lord over Biden? Is he Lord over you? He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's reigning from heaven right now. I don't understand why he allows certain things to happen. You don't. One day we'll go to heaven and ask why. I don't think so. I think we're going to be. We're not going to remember any questions that we have. So, but he's king. Eternal king. And what does he do? It says, he governs us by his word and spirit, defends us, preserves us in the redemption. We believe in the perseverance of the saints, but really, we believe in the perseverance of Jesus Christ for the saints, don't we? We believe in the perseverance of the Holy Spirit for the saints, that the Holy Spirit whom he sent. The second question is one of those identity questions. Do you claim to be a Christian? Well, if you claim to be a Christian, what does that mean? Well, it says that I belong to Christ. I'm a member of Christ. I'm in Christ. And so thus, I am a partaker of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. Did you see that? Number one, partaker of his anointing in order that I may confess his name. What is that? That's the prophethood of all believers. We speak and live in Christ, and others see Jesus through us. How's that going, by the way? May present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. Which one of those offices is that? Of a priest, right? Martin Luther declared the priesthood of all believers. You don't need a priest to get to Jesus. You got Jesus. He's the only high priest. And you are a priest. And you are called, according to Romans chapter 12, verse 1, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your logical worship, that is accepted by God. Isn't that amazing? And finally, with a free conscience, I may fight against sin and the devil in this life, and hereafter, in eternity, reign with him over all creatures. So we are at war. We're going to look at that today in our passage, the warfare that we are still facing today. Does it comfort you to know who you are in Christ? Okay, let me ask it this way. Is your identity sin? In Adam, it is. You understand that? You are sin, and you do sin in Adam. Are you in Christ? Is now sin your identity if you're in Christ? And the answer is no. I am a Christian. Jesus is my Lord. I belong to Jesus. I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. These are identity statements that you find in this document. Who I am in Christ. Does that help me to war against sin? Yes, because that's not who I am anymore. I'm in Christ. I am a Christian. And so therefore, and he empowers me to walk in that identity. Amen? Amen. Amen.